We'll be talking about the true vine. Prior today, we've gone through, okay, Facebook is up. We've gone through all the seven, today will be the seventh saying, but we went through the other six sayings these past several weeks. Last week, we talked about I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And so this week, we're going to talk about Jesus saying that I am the true vine. Of course, we've said that there are seven of these sayings. Now, I've talked enough and long enough where you have had the opportunity to find the gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And if you still haven't gotten there, Sister Phyllis and Sister Tracy have been good and kind enough to put it up on the screen for you. And so it reads on this wise: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to come and study your word, hear your word, have that word find a lodging place in our heart. Our prayer is, Father God, that we will have been made better after having heard your word. Those of us who know you in the pardon of our sins, Lord, we ask that your word would encourage us, that your word would exhort us. And then, Lord, those of us who do not know you as Lord and Savior, our prayer is that that word would find a lodging place in their heart and that they might realize that they need a Savior to save them from the wrath of God. Our prayer is that having heard the word of God, that they might believe in their hearts, they might confess with their mouths the Lord Jesus Christ and thereby be saved. Our further prayer is, Father God, that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth with clarity and with power, that it would do those things that you purposed it to do. Our prayer is, Father God, that you hide me behind the cross. And then, Father God, I pray that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, these and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. We all do say, amen. Amen. Here we have the seventh I am saying of Jesus Christ. Jesus here says, I am the true vine. And this is the last of the seven I am sayings. But again, I'm going to be in this chapter for a little while. And only because I don't want to rush through all the wonderful things that are in this vineyard. This is a series of teachings. It's in the midst of those series of teachings that Jesus provides to his disciples right before he goes to the cross. This is of the night of the Passover. He has already washed their feet. Thomas has already asked Jesus, you know, we don't know the way, and where you're going, we don't know. And Jesus reassured him in chapter 14 that you do know the way, and you know the Father because you know me. And so their hearts are still heavy, but Jesus is still teaching because there's some things in here in this passage, certainly, but there are some things that Jesus had to relay to them because once he had ascended to the Father, he had a job for them to do. And that job is that same job that we're still about today, which is about the church. And so here he is, he's preparing these disciples to become apostles. And as he does so, he is walking them through the things that he wants them to know. But in today's sermon, I want to let you know that if you miss my sermon, if you get this point, but if you miss my sermon, you'll if you get this point, you'll understand what it is that we're talking about. And so my take it home point, my proposition for today is this, is that all branches are disciples, but not all branches are believers. All branches are disciples, but not all branches are believers. My first point, and like I said, I'm not going to be so wrapped up in my points today, but I want to take my time and kind of just walk through what it is that Jesus has here for us today. I want to kind of take the time to unpack this because there's a lot here. First of all, if you're taking notes and you want to try and keep up with what I'm saying, my first point is this, is that the true vine is a distinctive vine. The true vine is a distinctive vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And here it is believed by exegetes that Jesus chooses the figure of a vine because throughout the Old Testament, Israel is typed as a vine. The vine was their national emblem of Israel. It could be seen and stamped on coins during the Maccabean period. Yet this Old Testament type was not a positive type. Usually it was used to show that Israel had become degenerate, that they had become like a wild vine. And this is usually before God is about to pronounce some type of judgment upon Israel when he talks about them being a vine in the Old Testament. However, in the passage that we have before us, Jesus identifies himself as the true vine. In comparison to Israel, he is the true vine. And because he is the true vine, he is spiritual Israel. He is Israel as Israel was meant to be. He is Israel as Israel should be in the eyesight of God. And so he is the true vine from which all nations will be blessed. And we say that all nations will be blessed because this is the promise that God made to Abraham, that through him, that through his lineage, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And so Jesus is the vine through which all nations will be blessed. And so it is in Christ Jesus that we are all blessed, and we're all blessed through Christ because of his death, his burial, his resurrection from the grave, from that, because he took upon himself all of our sins, and because he took upon himself all of our sins and died a death that we should have died, we are now imputed, or in other words, we have received his righteousness, that which we could not do ourselves, the true vine does for us. The true vine, the creating vine, the vine from which all sustenance flows, is the vine that makes it possible for us to have received salvation. It is this same vine from which we will be resurrected by the Son of God. It is this same vine that provides us with the bread of life. It is the same vine that is the light of our lives. It is the same vine that provides us the door for which we have access into heaven. It is the same vine that provides us with all our needs, with all the things that we are needed to provide to us. He is the pantry door. He is not only an access door, not only is he a pantry door, he is a security door. He keeps us safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. And matter of fact, we can say that even in these times, we've leaned upon his word. We found in the 91st number of the Psalm where he tells us that he keeps us in his arms, that he keeps us safe from harm, that he, like a mother hen, he keeps us surrounded, not like a mother hen, but like a mother eagle, he keeps us safe. He tells us he puts fortresses around us. And oftentimes you'll hear us pray, the Lord be a hedge around us. He protects us. And so he protects us because he is our good shepherd. He's our good shepherd. He provides us with provision. He provides us with protection. He tends to our needs because he is our good shepherd. But not only is he our good shepherd, but he also promises us resurrected life. He promises us not only a resurrected life, but then he also promises us that we have a way to the Father, and that way is through him. And because he is God, he cannot lie. He must tell the truth. And so through today, he is not only all those things, but he tells us today that he is the true vine. He is the true vine. And as the scripture will point out, he is the source of a growth. He is the source of fruit bearing. He is also the way that we all have to interact with him. And when we interact with him, we interact with the Father. However, not all growth is good growth. You understand that there are some growths that are not good growths. Cancer is a growth, but it's not a good growth. So we have to be wary of the type of growth we are. And because we have to be wary of the type of growth that occurs on the vine, there's someone called a vine dresser. So the vine is distinctive, not because who it represents, but also who keeps it. Here in the verse it says, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it might bear more fruit. Jesus also tells these disciples, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. The vine is a well-kept vine because of the one who keeps the vine. Jesus says, my Father, that is God the Father, is the vine dresser. It is the vine dresser's job to prune, to train, and to cultivate the vine. Here in the parable that Jesus provides us with is a work of the vine dresser in regards to the true vine. The vine dresser attends to two types of branches, those that produce fruit and those that don't produce. Now, these two types of branches are in fact disciples. Vines which are not trained or will grow wild and will grow along the ground. Well-tended vines are propped up and are made to grow upwards. And their vines are twisted and twined along wires that are hung along the vineyard to further train the vine. In cultivating these vines, there is a process called suckering. Now, there are some branches that hinder the vine. These branches take up vital resources from the vine. They produce no fruit. They are just there, living on their own and just branching out, never producing any fruit. It is the vine dresser's job to sucker these branches. Suckering is the process of removing these branches. They are taken away so the resources of the vine can go towards those branches that are producing fruit. Jesus tells us that there are two types of disciples.
Yeah.
There are productive disciples, and then there are unproductive disciples. That there will be the ones that are unproductive will be suckered off. Don't be surprised by what I say, because you know that every disciple is not a believer. Not everybody who's in the house is a member of the house. I know that this is true because let me point you to two verses. No, not two verses, but really two chapters. Remember in the sixth chapter, after Jesus had fed the 5,000 and they followed him across the sea, and Jesus began to tell them about the reason why they followed him. They didn't follow him because of that they believed in him, but they followed him because of the food that they ate. And so they went to Jesus again and said, well, show us something that would prove to us that you are who you say you are. And Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. And so Jesus, as he began to expound to them about being the bread of life, it confused them. It hurt their feelings. They realized that he wasn't going to feed them again. And so the Bible says that at the end of which, many of them said to themselves, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And then the Bible says many of those disciples left him and walked with him no more. We find that in the 13th chapter, Jesus is about to wash the feet of his disciples. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he washed the feet of all the disciples. And so as Peter, who said, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus says, you have no part of me unless you allow me to wash your feet. Peter turns around and says, don't just wash my feet, then wash all of me. And Jesus says, it's enough that I wash your feet. All Peter, you are, and Jesus professes and tells Peter, you are clean, but not all of you. And you realize that when Jesus says this, he washed the feet of all the disciples, which included Judas. Judas had yet to leave and betray Jesus. And Jesus knew who it was who was going to betray him. And so he says, you are clean, Peter, but not all of you. And so now we find here, now that Judas has left, Jesus makes the statement to them that you are all now clean. The person who was not present when Jesus makes this statement here in the 15th chapter is Judas. Judas has left the other disciples. Not every disciple is a believer, but every believer is a disciple. There are those of us, and matter of fact, those of us who have been going through our study of the first epistle of John, John tells us in that first epistle about the spirit of the Antichrist, that there are those who will make their way into the church. They will make their way into the church. They'll sit here on a Sunday. They will sit here on a Wednesday night Bible study. They will make themselves available for all the things that the church participates in. And they'll sit among us. But John tells us the way that we can tell the difference between those who are with us, those who are disciples, those who are believers, is that those who left us were not believers. They may have been disciples, they may have been among us, but they were not truly with us because they left us. Disciples are anyone who wants to just be a part of the group. But believers are more than those who just want to be a part of the group. Believers stay throughout, especially when there is good biblical teaching going forth, when there is good biblical preaching going forth, they stay the course. Jesus says that those who do not stay the course, the vine dresser makes it away where they are suckered off the vine. It is the vine dresser whose job it is to make sure that that vine goes straight. It is the vine dresser's job to make sure that every branch that's on the vine produces fruit. But notice here as well that in addition to suckering off branches that don't produce, the vine dresser also prunes. And the thing about pruning is this, is that pruning does not always feel good. It is not always pleasant. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering, it's goodness, it's gentleness, it's faith, it's meekness, it's temperance. All these things only come as Christ has crucified himself. We must crucify ourselves as well. We can only do this through the pruning process that God the Father puts us through. Sometimes we wonder to ourselves, why is it that I had to go through what it is that I had to go through? Why is it that I had to go through that hurt and pain? God, why did you not relieve me of that situation? Why did you let me stay in it? You had to stay in it so that you could learn the lesson that you learned. You had to stay in it so that others might see that if you made it, then they could make it too. You had to go through what it was that you went through so that you might have a testimony where others looking at you and said, if it been me, I'd been pulling out my hair. I'd been screaming at the top of my lungs, but you went through it and you seem to have been weathered it well. Why is that? Well, I didn't do it in my own strength. It was because God was with me. It was because Jesus held my hand. It was because I fell down on my knees and began to cry out to God. And you know, he made me this promise that when I cried out to him, he'll incline his ear. He'll hear my prayer. He'll move on my behalf. Own and do those things that only he can do, so that I couldn't take any of the glory for it. I had to give God the glory for it. Maybe the reason why you're going through what it is that you're going through, so that at the end of which you can't take credit for it. You have to have a testimony to give unto God about his goodness, about his mercy, about his graciousness that he's done towards you. Pruning is not an easy process. It'll cause you to fall on your knees sometime. It may cause you to cry. It may even ask you to ask the question, why? God is not afraid of your questioning him why. He will tell you by and by. And even if you don't get it by and by, if you continue, the Bible says to abide in him, to continue in him, there'll come a day. There'll come a time where you will have to stand before him and he'll let you know why it was that you went through what it was that you went through. God has a way of making sure that we don't rely on things and on people, but rely on him. And when we do rely on things, when we do rely on people, God has a way of kicking those things out of the way, where you have no choice but to lean on him and to lean on his everlasting arm. Jesus has told us once before, he is the light. And because he is the light, we need to walk in that light. Because he is that light, remember, the light suffered at the hands of ungodly men so that we might have the right to eternal life. So if Jesus suffered, why is it that you believe that you should not? Why is it if the master himself was lied on, was beaten, was mistreated, that you think that you are going to get a pass in this life from people lying on you? You if you work any kind of job, you be there long enough, somebody going to lie on you. You got some relatives, they're going to lie on you. There's just no getting around that in this life, because in this life,
give him a couple of minutes, he'll be back.
All right, am I unmuted? Phyllis, give me a thumbs up.
Yes, you are. You're good.
Okay, I'm good. All right, but Zoom did something kind of crazy there for a minute. Jesus follows this by saying,
Pastor, you're sideways.
I'm sideways.
Yes.
I don't know how that happened. Sideways. Okay.
There you go.
I'm better. All right. Okay. All right. Jesus follows this by saying that you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Those of you who are diligent Bible students, if you look at this word clean and you look at the word prune, the word clean and the word prune in the Greek are one and the same word. So when God prunes us, he's cleaning us. When the vine dresser suckers the vine, he is in fact cleaning the vine. He's making it so that the vine will be able to continue to give sustenance to those branches that are producing fruit. But remember, not every branch is a clean branch. Jesus tells the 11 that they're already clean because of the washing of the word, because of their belief in him. Not only is the vine distinctive, not only is the vine well kept, but then the vine is a productive vine. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Branches receive their sustenance from the vine. It is the vine that nurtures. It is the branches that produce the fruit. The vine needs the fruit the branches produce. The branches can only produce of the nourishment that the vine provides. Jesus is the vine. And that as we, as his disciples, or his branches, receive sustenance from him, we will produce fruit that is worthy of the true vine. This is only possible if you abide in him. The word abide, and matter of fact, in this particular chapter, he uses the word abide some 10 times. We haven't hit the other abides just yet, but let me kind of tantalizingly put it out there that John, through the Holy Spirit, tells us that we need to abide in him. That those of us who do not know Jesus in the pardon of our sins, we need to make and find a way to the door, to that access door, to that way that he provides. We have to make a way to eat of that bread. We have to continue to find that light. But we can only find that light. We can only eat of that bread. We can only go through that door. We can only be a part of that true vine if we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We must, the Bible says, that if we are to receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, it says we must believe that he was sent of God. We must believe that he is the Son of God. We must believe that he is God incarnate. We must believe that he died on Calvary's cross for our sins, and that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, that he stayed in that tomb 3 whole days, that he got up out of that grave on the 3rd day, and that he, during that resurrection moment, he received all power in his hands. And because he received all power in his hands, he is imputed unto those who believe not just his righteousness, but also the right to eternal life. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus says today that I am the true vine. That I am denotes that he is the creator God. He was present during creation, and he's now going to be present through your recreation through your rebirth. He says, I'm going to rebirth you. If you simply believe in your heart, you simply confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you shall be saved. Well, I don't know all these things. I don't know everything I think I should know about the Bible. That's all right, because I'm preaching, and many other preachers will tell you, at least good preachers will tell you, they don't know everything about the Bible. But the one thing that we do know is this. Matter of fact, every good Christian knows this as well. Every believing Christian knows this as well. Is that you don't have to know all the Bible. You just need to know the writer of the Bible. And the writer of the Bible, he who put it on the hearts of these men to write down on paper the thoughts and intents of God, he's speaking to you right now. He is saying that you need God, and God is willing to receive you. Say this prayer with me, if you will. Father God, I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer with me right here, right now, and you believed it in your heart, you just now confessed it with your mouth, the Bible says that you are saved. There's nothing more than you must do. The Bible says that in heaven, the angels in heaven have taken your name and they put it in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they are rejoicing in heaven. But the thing is this, I'm coming to you across Zoom, and I'm coming across to you on Facebook. And so I don't know whether you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not. Well, it just so happens that we have created a blog. It's preachermanstan.com. On that blog, you can just pull it up. Please, ma'am, please, sir, pull up my blog. Let me know if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you have a comment in regards to this sermon or any other sermon I may have preached, please, ma'am, please, sir, go to the blog and put your information there. And we will be good and faithful to get back to you. But in addition to that, let's just say you had a donation you wish to make to this ministry. Please, ma'am, please, sir, go to our website, which is nbcfc.org, New Beginning Christian Fellowship Church.org, nbcfc.org. And on that website, you can make a donation. If this sermon or this service has been a blessing to you, we just really want to encourage you to be a blessing to the ministry. Now, that ends my sermon. That ends my time I have with you.